the formation of the church. Tell me, when did the church begin? You know, if you read various opinions about many people about this, you will see, you'll come across various opinions about it. There were some people who say that it started with Adam itself. Adam was a child of God? Was Adam a child of God? Yeah? Yes? He was a believer, right? Yes, he was a believer. The church was not there at that time. Okay, there are other people who say, now it's not with Adam, it is with Abraham. Because it was Abraham whom God called out of Ur of Chaldees. Remember that? With him, the nation of Israel began, isn't it? Their call was in Abraham. So they say it's with Abraham that the church began. There are others who say that it's with John the Baptist because he was the one who started giving baptism first, isn't it? And there are others who say that it's with the coming of Christ. And among them also there are various opinions. Some say that it's with the calling of the 12. Remember? And there are others who say that it is a time from, the Peter's confession, Matthew 16. And there are others who say that it's with the institution of the Lord's Supper, remember? And there are others who say that it's with the resurrection of Christ. And there are others who say it's not with Christ, it's with Paul. And among them also there are various opinions. Some say it's with the conversion of Paul, Acts 9. Some say it's with the call for ministry of Paul, Acts 13. And there are yet others who say that it's with the writing of the prison epistles. Remember that? Chapter 28 of Acts. What I'm trying to say is there are various opinions about it. Alright? There are various opinions. But what do you think about it? Is it with Adam? Is it with Abraham? Is it with John the Baptist? Is it with Christ? Or is it something else? When did the church begin? On the day of Pentecost? Any other answers? You said something else? No? None to vote for Abraham? Moses. Started with Moses. Alright. So I'll have to add in my note. You remember the verse that we, read yesterday. Today also we refer to that. In Matthew 16:18. Without opening to that, can you tell me what that verse is? Without opening to the Bible? Without opening to the Bible? Bible closed? Yeah, the word Peter. And upon this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Notice that middle statement there. And upon this rock, I will build my church. I will build my church. What tense is it? Future tense. Alright? When you say future tense, what does it mean? Yeah, till now it is not there, it is in future. When it says, I will build my church, it means the construction has not yet started. Alright? The construction has not yet started, it's still in future. So, Adam is out, Abraham is out, John the Baptist is out, good part of Christ is out, right? Moses is also out. So it is, I will build my church. It's in future tense. So when the Lord Jesus Christ was telling this, the construction of the church had not started. It was still in future. Clear? Yeah. So that means church did not start with Abraham. Let me tell you one thing. There are not many people to take the side of Adam or Moses or John the Baptist or anyone else. But there are people who try to include Abraham also with this. Alright? Because he is also called as a father of what? Yeah. Father of those who believe, isn't it? Father of the faithful. But that doesn't mean that he is a part of the church. There are other arguments also favoring that. To include the Israelites also as the part of the church. We don't have to go into the details of all that. Alright, we don't have to go into such details. But one thing we should remember, this future tense usage, this usage in the future tense, I will build my church, tells clearly that church was not existing at that time. It was still in future. If that is so, then Israel is not a part of the what? Church. And now if Israel was not a part of church, and if the church was not existent then when it was started, when the construction started? Let us try to understand that. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is a slightly difficult topic, but we will go as slow as possible. We will make it as simple as possible, because I want you to understand this. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we will read verse 13 only. 12 and 13. We read like this. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Okay? Can we read it again? I want you to familiarize yourself with this verse. If possible, try to make it by heart. Alright? For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Did you all read that? Can somebody tell me by heart? Not the whole chapter, just one verse. Somebody want to try it? Yeah? Nobody? No one want to try it? Oh, come on. I thought many will be... For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, then, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. At least you got familiar with that verse, right? Yeah. Now, tell me what this verse tells about. Tells about what? Especially the first part of it. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free. What does it tell about? What does that part of that verse tell about? Are you familiar with this term, baptism in the Spirit? Are you familiar with this term, baptism in the Spirit? Yes or no? Yes? Baptism in the Spirit. Are you familiar with the baptism in the water? Yeah. Alright. Now this is not that. Alright. This is not water baptism. This is Spirit baptism. Baptism in the Spirit. What is it? What is the purpose of it? When did it happen? We are trying to see that. Now, there are about 7 clear references to the baptism in the Spirit in the New Testament. How many? 7. I will repeat that again. There are 7 clear references to the baptism in the Spirit in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, you don't have it. It's a New Testament thing. Alright? And in the New Testament, there are only 7 clear references. There are some vague references also, where we cannot decide whether this is this or that. Unclear references. But clear references are 7. And those 7 clear references we can divide into 3 groups. Number 1, prophetic references. You wrote prophetic references? Yeah. Then within bracket you can give this references. Matthew 3:11, Mark 1:8, Luke 3:16, John 1:33, Acts 1:5. Acts 1:5. I will repeat the references. Matthew 3:11, Mark 1:8, Luke 3:16, John 1:33, Acts 1:5. All these are called what? Prophetic references. Alright? Prophetic references. Then the second group, historical references. Historical. And in bracket you can give the reference Acts 11 verses 15 to 18. Acts 11 verses 15 to 18. When I say Acts 11, 15 to 18, in what order you write? Yeah? Yeah, 11, 15 to 18, and beside that then you write Acts, isn't it? Okay. Now, then after that, the third, doctrinal references. The doctrinal, doctrine, doctrinal, doctrinal references. 1 Corinthians 12:13. 1 Corinthians 12:13. That means there is only one doctrinal statement about the baptism in the Spirit. Alright, now come to that first group, that is prophetic utterances. I gave you 5 references there, alright? And if you look at the 5 references, the first 4 have to do with the words of John the Baptist. These are the words of John the Baptist. We will read at least 1 or 2 out of that. Look at Matthew 3:11. Matthew 3:11. Matthew 3:11. We read like this. Here John the Baptist is telling. He says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Did you get that? You see it in the last portion, isn't it? he shall baptize. Who shall baptize? Who shall baptize? The Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? John the Baptist is telling, somebody is coming after me. Who was that? Who was telling about who? The Lord Jesus Christ. He is greater than me. It's Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? Jesus Christ was born in this earth after 6 months, isn't it? 6 months after John the Baptist was born. That is why he said, after me, isn't it? And he is greater than me. I'm not worthy to unloose his shoes. I am baptizing you with water only, unto repentance. But he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit and with fire. What is that fire baptism? We will come to that later. Alright? Fine. Now come to Luke 3:16. Mark 1:8 also is there. We won't read that. Luke 3:16. There also we see the same truth that we saw in Matthew. There we see like this, John answered saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Alright, the same thing. Alright. Now, John 1:33 also we see the same thing. All the first four are the words of John the Baptist. But then, Acts 1:5, that's whose words the Lord Jesus himself tells. Turn to that. Acts 1:5. Yeah, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. Alright? Now, John said, Jesus Christ who is coming after me, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. Or he shall give you the Spirit baptism. Or he shall baptize you in the Spirit. Alright? So now Jesus himself is telling, alright? Jesus himself is telling, this is after his death, after his resurrection. He was there with them for 40 days. Remember that? Yes or no? Yes. Yeah. After resurrection, he was with them for 40 days. Now it's time for him to go up, the ascension. Before that, he is telling them, you know, all these things. And he's telling, not many days hence. That means without much delay, you all will get what? What? Baptism in the Spirit. Baptism in the Holy Spirit. So what you should do? Verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye heard of me. So you should not depart from Jerusalem. You are going to get it here in Jerusalem itself. Did you get that? You should wait here itself. I'm going, right? But you ought to wait here itself. How many days they waited? 10 days. Alright? 10 days they waited. They were praying together. Now one thing we should remember, when the Lord said, without much delay, you will get the baptism in the Spirit, that means until then the baptism in the Spirit did not happen. What John the Baptist said, it was not fulfilled. Here Jesus Christ is telling, you're going to get it. Wait in Jerusalem itself. And they waited. And when you come to chapter 2, we see that promise being fulfilled. Did you get that? Now before we come to the details of that, I should tell you something else. That's about the baptism in the fire. What is a baptism in the fire? What is baptism in the fire? Come back to Matthew 3. Matthew 3. We don't have to make our own opinions. We don't have to give our own explanations. John himself gives the explanations. Alright? When the scripture itself gives us the explanation, we don't have to go for human explanations. Now look at verse 12. In 11, we saw about the baptism in the Holy Ghost and the baptism in the fire. And verse 12 explains it. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, and he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. He will burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. When it says unquenchable fire, you remember what? Yeah, the hellfire. All the fires here on the earth are quenchable, right? Put some water on it. Done. But there is only one fire which is unquenchable. Which is that? The hellfire, isn't it? So it tells about that hellfire. And what shall be put there? The chaff. The chaff. When you come to Psalm 1, there we see who this chaff or what this chaff is. Can you just turn to that portion? Look at verse 4. There we read like this, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. The ungodly are like the chaff. So chaff is equal to the ungodly. Alright, the ungodly. And ungodly is a term used for the sinners. Ungodly is the term used for sinners. Those who have not believed in the Lord Jesus. They are like the chaff. They are not good grain. They are not good to be stored. Does anybody store the chaff? No, nobody, isn't it? It's thrown out. It's put in the fire. Nobody makes a big storeroom, you know, to keep the chaff. It's done only for the wheat, good grain. So the chaff is consigned to the fire. So here the chaff represents the ungodly, the sinners. They shall be one day put into that unquenchable fire, that hell fire. So the fire baptism is not for the believers. Alright? It is not for those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ. That unquenchable fire speaks of condemnation, judgment. If there is anybody who have not put their trust in Jesus Christ yet, think about that future. Alright? God doesn't want you to end up there. And we also don't want to end up there, isn't it? One way. What is that one way? The Lord Jesus Christ. Accept Him as our Savior, Lord. Give our life to Him. Such shall not be, you know, sent to that hellfire. Such will not have that baptism in the fire. It's only for the ungodly, the wicked, the sinners. But the wheat, the good grain, that is being collected into the storeroom, isn't it? It is being taken to the granary. And that is about the believers. Now coming back to this baptism in the Spirit, alright? The baptism in the Spirit. If the baptism in the fire is for the unbelievers, baptism in the Spirit have to do with the believers. Have to do with the believers. Now get back to our verse in 1 Corinthians. Can you read that verse and tell me the purpose of baptism in the Spirit? It's not very difficult if you read that verse carefully. Read that verse, 1 Corinthians 12:13, and tell me just this one answer. What is the purpose of the baptism in the Spirit? We don't have much time to wait. I want you to answer fast. What is it? Yeah. Making of that one body. There is no other purpose. Got it? No other purpose. Making of that one body. You see that verse? The first portion of it. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Alright? One body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, alright? Whether we be bond or free or Jew or Gentile, put together without any distinction, they are now made one body, alright? One body. So the purpose of the baptism in the Spirit was this formation of the body. What is the title of this class? The formation of the church, isn't it? As we saw earlier in the last class, body is a metaphor for the church. Body is a metaphor for the church. So when we say the formation of the body, it means the formation of the church. So the purpose of the baptism in the Spirit was the formation of the church. Clear? Everybody? Come on now, tell me, yes or no? Yes. Now in the references we saw, how many prophetic references? Five. In the first four, John the Baptist said, the one who is coming after me shall give it. Alright? And the fifth one, Jesus himself said before ascension that you're going to get it without much delay. Remember? Yeah. So, those people waited at Jerusalem. Instruction was given that they should wait in Jerusalem itself. So they waited there. As I said, 10 days they waited. 40 days, they were with Jesus, isn't it? On the 40th day probably, Jesus said you should wait. So 10 days added, they were waiting, they were praying. Put together how many days? 50. 40 plus 10, 50 days. Alright? So 50 days completed. And that promise that was given by John the Baptist and Jesus Christ was fulfilled on that 50th day. Which we have in chapter 2. Alright? We had the description of it in chapter 2. Now look at chapter 2 of Acts and see what happened on that day. Acts 2, we will only read that first four verses. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, what's the meaning of that word Pentecost? Can somebody answer that? What's the meaning of that word Pentecost? 50th day. Alright, Pentecost means the 50th day. You remember just now I gave you one calculation? 40 plus 10, 50. There are Old Testament counterpart also for this, but we won't go into all that. Alright? Yeah. From the day of resurrection. Alright? Count 50 days. Did you get this? Feast of the Pentecost. The Pentecost day. The 50th day. And see what happened on that day. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. There are a lot of things, you know, to explain, but we're not going into all those things. What I want you to notice about is about the baptism part. What is the meaning of that word baptism? Come on, I thought that all of you would give the answer together immediately after I asked the question. Baptism means what? What's the meaning of the word baptism? To? Immersed. Dip. To get immersed. To dip. You know that water baptism, what do you do with that? You get immersed, right? In what? In water, right? That's water baptism. Now apply that same meaning over here. Baptism in the spirit. Baptism means dipped. Dipped in the spirit. Let me try to explain that. As we see here in verse 1, all of them were together and suddenly they heard something and they saw certain things. We won't go into that. And verse 2 says that a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. They were in a room, and the whole room was filled with what? That mighty rushing wind. What was that? What was that? It was the presence of the Spirit itself. So they were enveloped in the presence of the Spirit. Did you get that? The room was filled with the presence of the Spirit. And these people were in that. Dipped in the presence of the Spirit. It was on the day of Pentecost that literally it happened. The baptism in the Spirit, which was foretold by John the Baptist and foretold by Lord Jesus Christ, was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. And that was the day for the formation of the church. Formation of the body. For the Jew and the Gentile, a door was opened by the gospel. Remember that? So that Pentecost is the birthday of the church. Alright? Pentecost was the birthday of the church. That was the day when it began. There is another truth that we have to remember along with that. How many birthdays do you have? Two? Forget about the spiritual birth and all that. Think about the physical birth alone. Yeah, one. If there were many, it would have been good, isn't it? Throughout the year, you could have had cakes, many days, celebration, this thing, that thing. Every month, one birthday. But sadly, there is only one birthday. For the church also, there is only one birthday. That happened on the day of Pentecost. We are thinking not about the local church, but about the universal church, alright? It began on the day of Pentecost. We said that yesterday also, isn't it? Now it's continuing. And it happened with, tell me, it began with, come on, the baptism in the Spirit. The baptism in the Spirit. With the Pentecost. And if the church began with the Pentecost, and if there is only one birthday, there is another assumption that we have to, another deduction that we have to remember. Baptism in the Spirit is not something that is given again and again. It happened once for all. Alright? It happened on the day of Pentecost. We are not given baptism in the Spirit individually. Nowhere are we asked, believers never asked to wait for the baptism in the Spirit. There are certain people who teach like that, but it is not there in the Bible. We don't have to have baptism in the Spirit individually. It was for the beginning of the church. It happened on the day of Pentecost. Church began then and now it continues. Now when one person believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, at that very moment, he is added unto the church. Got it? He is added unto the church. What is Acts 2:47? Acts 2:47, God added unto the church such as should be saved. Remember that? That means those who are saved, the Lord, at the very moment itself, asks that person to come on, tell me the church. And when you say that the person is added to the church, that means he is added to the church that began with the baptism in the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. So all the goodness of that baptism becomes his also. Did you get this? Thus he becomes a part of what happened on the day of Pentecost. Getting confused? Are you getting confused? Let me explain it like this. Our time is almost gone. Suppose this room is air conditioned. Would have been good if it is true, isn't it? But this is just an imagination. Suppose it is air conditioned. And we are coming from outside, from the hot sun, sweating. And you knock at the door. And you want to step inside to be a part of this cool inside. All right? And then, when you enter inside, you to become a part of that goodness of that air condition inside, should the people inside go to that switch, put off that AC and again on it for you? Huh? Another person comes, a person goes again to the switchboard, off, on, yeah, one more added. Should you do that? No, nothing. When you come from outside, from the hot sun, to become a part of this cool inside, what you have to do? What you have to do? Don't do anything to the AC. You just have to enter in. You just have to step in. Did you get that? So, with the baptism in the Spirit, church began on the day of Pentecost. Alright? So it happened once for all. Church began. Now when one person is born again, that person is being added to that church which began on the day of Pentecost with the baptism of the Spirit. So just as I said, AC is not put off and put on again when each person comes in. Similarly, no new baptism in the Spirit happens, but we become a part of it when we born again. Clear? Yes or no? Yes. So that is the formation of the church. With the baptism in the Spirit, on the day of Pentecost, the church was born. And again, let me tell you, it is about local church or universal church? It's about the universal church, alright? It's about the universal church. So it began on the day of Pentecost. That is the formation of the church. This is a topic that we can go on speaking. It's practical application and all that. But we are not going into the details. We are looking only at the very elementary and essential thing for us to know. Alright? So baptism in the Spirit is clear, right? It was for one purpose, that is for the beginning of the church. Began on the day of Pentecost with the baptism in the Spirit. Alright? Now when a person is born again, he is added to the church. So we don't individually get any baptism in the Spirit now. Alright? But we become a part of its good when we are born again. Hope these truths are clear. So if you have any doubt, you can ask later in the class or outside the class. So now we will break. Our time is up. One of you would like to close in prayer? Any one of you? In any language, Hindi or Marathi or English or anything. Any one of the brothers. Yeah.
Lord, I am your Father, praise Lord. Thank you for this, Lord. Wonderful God, Lord. God has given us, Lord. Thank you for Lord. After Lord, that you use, Lord, to speak, Lord, about the church, Lord, the formation of the church, Lord. So that, Lord, we could learn, Lord. And Lord, we plan about that baptism, Lord. Lord, from which day it will start, Lord, and it will be continued, Lord, in the day of rapture, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And you have an answer us, Lord. And you help us also, Lord, to listen to that, Lord, to meditate, Lord. And help us, Lord, to continue, Lord, this 6 day gap, Lord, that we have, Lord. Yes, Lord, thank you, answer, Lord. As you are going, Lord, help us, Lord, and be with us, Lord. We pray, Lord, thank you, answer, Lord. And we pray for, Lord, those who don't believe, Lord, in you, Lord. We pray for them, Lord, that they might accept you, Lord, like you are the true Lord, and you are the Son of God, Lord, and you are the Jesus Christ, Lord, Messiah, Lord, and you have died for us, Lord, and you have not only died, but you are serving, Lord, and they might believe in you, Lord. We pray for them, Lord. And thank you for this time, Lord, once again, Lord. As we are going to depart, Lord, help us, Lord, guide us, Lord, and do it, Lord. Thank you once again. Thank you for hearing our prayer. We are asking this prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Say any announcement?